The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from the stop off between the Bay Area and Tahoe, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now wishing he were somewhere cooler too, here's Nate.
Hey everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to Lent.
Yay.
It's Lent.
What's everybody giving up for Lent?
It's Friday. Don't eat meat, everybody. Oh, did you ruin your lunch or your dinner?
I won't.
That's easy.
Is anyone here observing Lent?
You have nothing left to give up, food-wise.
No, I'm not giving up food.
No.
I will be observing Lent. I don't know what I'm doing yet in that regard, because as we are... Right. I don't have to choose yet as we're taping this.
Yeah, it's not Lent as we're recording this.
I'm going to be vegan for Lent.
Okay.
And I'm going to be giving up, I don't know how to put it, but like my sedentary lifestyle. I have some active, you know, goals involving yoga and dance and stuff that I've been doing a little bit since January, and I got to kick it up. So that's my Lent, is giving up
sloth.
Sloth. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
You can also take something on for Lent if it helps.
It's true.
You could like take on the... yoga, dance, move. Michelle Obama, let's move.
Yeah.
Michelle, the fist bumper.
Obama. Exactly. And Nate, have you done enough Lent in your life? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, I've... I'm good with Lent.
It's open season for Catholic guilds. It's the best time. It's the most wonderful time.
I got the greatest gift of all from a nun. I believe it was junior high. When the kids are saying, "Sister, you make us feel guilty," and she says, "I can't make you feel guilty. Guilt is something you have to accept." And I said, "Aha!
I reject it."
Yeah, I don't have to accept your guilt. Boop 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 boop. Yeah.
Nate just did like a mime in a glass box.
That's
like
right.
he put up a little like brick wall. Happened,
but oh no, it's like handball.
It's like a guilt force field.
Oh. Yeah, I will slap your guilt back at you. I shall not take it.
I had a friend in college whose thing was, so you know, if you go to mass on Ash Wednesday,
sure.
It's a Catholic church, you get a little ash cross on your forehead.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And the ash, fun fact, is made out of the burnt palms from the previous year's Palm Sunday.
Yes.
Right. And he would always, because there's a reading they do every year, and I don't remember the book because I'm not good like that, that you're not supposed to, like, when you fast and you do all these things for Lent, you're not supposed to be all, like, braggy about it because it defeats the entire purpose.
Right.
And so, you know, when you're fast, don't go out disheveled in public, you know, do yourself upright and do your thing. And so he would always make a big deal about washing off the cross, because he felt like keeping the cross was the, like, too obvious thing. So his too cool for school. There's, like, the too cool for school camp with the cross. And then he was like,
oh
no, I'm going to go a step further. And then he'd talk all day about how he taken it off because... And I was like, I still think you're not doing it right.
Yeah, the worst is the people who would be so into it that on Thursday they would still have the Ash Wednesday cross. They're like, no, I didn't touch it. God will take it off in time.
In the shower, that's where God usually removes my clothes.
Stop.
I'm washing my face to, you know, prevent the acne breakouts. Yeah. That's usually when God takes care of it.
Yeah, you mentioned taking on stuff, so.
Yeah.
No. You were quick to call this up. I was impressed.
That was good. Yeah, I don't know what I might give up, like, recreational shopping, you know, also, like, food shop, but I might give up, you know, just wandering IKEA and spending money because it's there.
I did find out, because Rob posted something about the self-checkouts being gone at IKEA.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been there to confirm.
I have an inside source at IKEA.
Oh, what is it?
An inside source? That's someone who's inside.
I mean, what's the info?
They are apparently going to some sort of new cash registers or something that does not support, or software, does not support self-checkout.
Good. They'll have to hire more people.
Yeah.
It's good. Good for labor.
Yuck. I like self-checkout, because I hate talking to people. Justifying my purchases. I want an oomphlop. I'm going to get an oomphlop. It's not your business. I also
have to assume they were probably like loss prevention wise. Because I think I walked out once with some napkins, but not intentionally. It's just that, you know, it's confusing.
I'm guessing that probably wasn't it, because everything at IKEA costs IKEA, I believe, 12 cents.
12 flat packed cents.
Everything is 12 cents. And so some things they make you know, 50 cents on. Other things they make $1,200 on. It's a really good business model if you can do it. Those Swedes are crafty.
They are. Socialism, man.
Crafty Swedes.
It's awesome. I don't know.
Anyway, we turn this down. coming up on the show today, that was a complete...
Can I just say the thing that I'm most excited about Lent-wise this year is that I already know what I'm making for Easter. And it's going to be amazing. It is going to be ham. I'm sorry.
Spoiler.
But I could maybe we could do one of the nut loaf things. You guys come up? I don't know. This will be...
Field roast?
Field roast. That was it. Field roast. And it was...
So what
made of nut? Is there nuts in it?
Why so what's so amazing about this ham that
you have planned? No, it's not just the ham. It's actually like the entire menu I'm really excited about. It's in a cookbook I got for my birthday.
Well, there you go.
And it's done by like the holiday seasons. And the one for Easter was just like top notch.
The one time I had lamb.
And I make a fucking amazing brunch.
You do.
I'm just going to say.
You do. The one time I had lamb was, I believe it was an Easter at your house.
Yeah. I was going to say, I make an amazing. I'm sorry. I feel like I've just alienated that half of the room.
That's the first time you've ever had lamb?
That was the first time I ever had lamb.
Ooh, wow. Really?
That's amazing. Believe
you're Catholic. That's
I believe
weird.
It's the only time I've ever had lamb.
Lamb chops?
So good. No, it was a lamb roast.
No, I'm just so surprised.
I stuffed the roast with a garlic and rosemary. It was, if I do say so myself, that was a nice piece of meat.
Well, I'm not a garlic guy. I hate garlic, but I stayed away from that part. And the meat was good. The meat was really good,
right?
Yeah,
it was good.
It was good.
That
it's not
a pricey cut of meat, too.
You're
welcome.
thank you. It's not something that I would go out and get again and again, but it was a good experience to have.
Oh, good.
It's no bison burger, but it'll do.
It is not a bison burger.
Yeah, it was delicious. I really enjoy making
no field roast.
Easter. I think I like
field patty. What's it called?
I think nut I like. No, I don't know.
Nut loaf. I left one of those this morning.
Are there
morning.
Nuts in it?
Possibly.
Is it made of nut? I mean, usually a lot of vegan food is made of like you can do an amazing number of things with nuts.
Well, there's like
butters and the cheese.
There are nut things like the at the what do you call it? Sunflower Drive-In. Oh. They have the nut burgers and stuff.
Like when in doubt, I'm just gonna assume that it's either like a portobello mushroom thing or like nuts that seems to be the substitute product for.
There's I don't know, I'll look up field roast and see if there's nut in it.
Yeah, I don't know there but I go. But I love cooking. We have the past couple of years we've had people over, and with the dawn of parenthood I have done my entertaining in general like has just tanked. I've fallen off the entertaining map, but I love cooking for Easter. It's one of my favorite things, even more than like Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the colorful eggs and the lovely table setting.
Right on. Coming up on the show today, we've got more great stuff in Florida Corner, and including a car that needs to man up, and a woman who's very upset about waffles.
You say a car?
Uh-huh.
Who could be upset about waffles?
Oh, we'll hear. We're also going to talk about women limiting women in certain ways and redefining sexy. So that's all coming up. Between shows, you guys were talking about how you went to Ted and Becca, how you were in Old Sac for Mardi Gras. How was that?
Old Sac. Sorry, I'm done.
Well, just the name was delightful. it was all righty. It was fine.
That good.
Yeah, I don't know. I
adequate.
Guess. Yeah, exactly. Well, kind of. I don't know.
It was hella adequate.
Like, well, the thing is, it sort of felt like Old Sacramento was phoning it in a little bit. Like
it always feels
they
like
have
that.
This party. You know, it's this Mardi Gras party. You pay $10 to $15 for your wristband, and you're there. And it starts at 5 o'clock. And then, like outside of the, there's like bars that are participating. You get a little map, and outside there's no way that you could tell that there's anything Mardi Gras going on at all. And then inside the bars, there was one bar, I think, out of six, and we visited all the bars on the map. One bar put up Mardi Gras decorations. Aww. Zero bars were pushing like New Orleans drinks or any kind of. It was sort of like they had like somebody standing at the door with beads, and a cover band, all rock and roll cover bands, not different genres of music, and that was it. So it was kind of like you were paying a cover. Just to go see cover bands, essentially.
Wow, that sucks.
And it was, I mean, it was fine. Like, we danced. Ted and I brought our own festive hats. And, you know, we danced and the bands were fine. And, it was all right.
It sounds like a big bucket of okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it was fine if you want to go out and dance in some cover bands. But if you're like, well, I don't know. I feel like Old Sacramento is a place where jazz festivals happen and where parades happen and things happen like many times a year. And you would think that they would just like, it's a perfect place for pedestrian festivals and, you know, all these different venues. They could have done all different kinds of music. Like there's a million bars there and there's what, probably like 10 standard cocktails that were invented at New Orleans that they probably were making anyway that they could have advertised in some fashion.
Plus the festival ended at 9, I believe, or went from 6 to 9. Is that correct?
The festival went from 5 to 10, but the bands all ended at 9.
Oh, well, yeah. Close enough.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, So it almost seemed like they were like, let's not, like, I couldn't tell.
Let's not go to Mardi Gras.
Right, like, we don't really want this to be a thing. Like, we're going to shut it down before nightlife traditionally even gets started, you know? And so it was very odd because it was like, it was too early for the party crowd, but it was entirely.
What's going on with this cat?
Sorry. The cat is doing crazy things. So it was like, it was too early in the evening for the party crowd, but it was held entirely in 21 and over bars. So it wasn't really like a family tourist event.
Hmm.
So it was very odd. And so
was it the first time they did this or?
I don't think so. And it's funny because they had the poster for it said, get your wristbands and events in advance. Last year's event was a sellout. And I'm thinking, and it was sparsely attended at best. So I don't know if last year's event was really a sellout or if it was, nobody came back. I don't know.
If you suddenly hide all the rest of the wristbands and then you're like, oh,
sold out.
But all gone.
I think the high point though, we went to one of the bars we went to, there's a cover band that played this song, a very romantic song that I think will make our list, our makeout list at 10:15 PM by Clarence Carter.
I
shared with Nate, and I don't know if it's queued up at all, but
so we got home.
Give me a second. I will find it for you.
Now, we danced to 6 different cover bands that night, and we probably heard this song within the first hour of our evening. And I think I had mostly forgotten about it. And we got home, and within like 1 minute of getting home, Ted was on the computer Googling to see if this was in fact a real song.
I couldn't tell the guy was covering it, if he's a genius who made it up, or if he got it from a musical legend. And it turns out he got it from a music legend. It's like Marvin Gaye, Look Out type of music, I think.
Yes, although he did add some of his own humor to the monologues, but the original monologues are pretty solid.
Yeah, so should have asked for it, to be honest.
Yeah, well, it's my fault. Whoa.
Ooh.
Hold on here.
What's going on?
Yeah.
What did you Google?
here we go.
But we had never heard this song before.
Now, Chris,
perform live. Love. I don't just make love. I be stroking. That's what I be. Yeah. I be stroking. No.
Nope.
Have you not heard this before?
I have.
Okay. You have?
Oh. We had never heard this. Until we saw it perform live in the basement of O'Malley's Irish Pub.
It's so ridiculous.
It's Clarence Carter.
Clarence Carter.
I think the most famous Clarence Carter song was this one.
Backdoor Santa?
Nope.
Oh. Patches.
Patches.
Oh, but you cut it off before his amazing monologue.
Oh, I'm going to play more Stroking later.
Okay. And Clarence Carter was a great old man. He had some beautiful soul songs. Like, he's legit.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, you heard Stroking, didn't you? Of course he's legit. I don't understand what.
Clarence Carter is. I love Clarence Carter. I really do. Because even though this song kind of sucks, it's still cool.
His biggest hit.
Oh, yeah, easily.
What is Patches? It's like the main character of this song who's like
a person.
Or a poor little boy. Patches is the name of my dog.
Aww.
His dad dies and tells him, Patches, you have to take care of the family now.
Aww.
It was the 70s where this was the sort of thing. You know, you had death and all sorts of other things
like
that.
Music.
Yeah,
we're past that.
Here's another Clarence Carter song you might be familiar with. It's a Slip Away.
This one's beautiful, yeah. This one's a classic.
I just love the guitar. What would I give for just a few moments? See, now this would be the one that you would actually want to be 10:15 into.
You're probably right. Just to have
you near. It's 2 minutes and 34 seconds, so it's just about the right length. You've been spying on us. You just stop tweeting after we've done it.
10:15 to 10:17:34. Oh yeah, that's the magic minutes.
We should probably stop tweeting whenever we're done, so they doesn't know.
Dead and done.
Boom. So I'm gonna hit that 2 minute mark one of these days.
So there's it's a compliment, Becca. He's so turned on that he can only go that long.
I think that's a compliment.
Well, yeah.
It kind of is.
It's to her, maybe. But.
So they're stroking. Now, the original stroking is 4.5 minutes long, but I have found the long and dirty.
Oh, there's a longer, dirtier version?
6 minutes and 23 seconds.
Ooh, it's too pretty long to dirty. Stroke it.
That's
oh,
way
no.
too long to stroke it.
Does he add north and south to his repertoire when he goes 6 minutes?
Well, because when you stroke it to the east and stroke it to the west.
Yeah, you got to. If you have a couple extra minutes, you can expand.
Now, Nate, did you know this song already?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we
you did.
Did.
Okay.
Oh, I was
we just discovered it.
I was the stroking virgin, I guess. Or yeah. We were.
What? One of my radio jobs back,
Oh, shit.
Shit, clear.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
Don't you forget it.
Is this the sturdy version?
This is the dirty, long and dirty version.
Wow, it's got funkiness on it.
It's like in space.
It's stroking in space.
Yep.
Stroking in space.
That's what Gravity 2 is about.
Or like the Gravity porn knockoff version, right?
In
you know
space,
there is one.
No one hears you.
You mean Grav Titty?
Oh, God.
You love puns.
I do.
Unless it's porn.
No, so porn puns are the best.
Anyway, while that's going on, we'll move on with the show.
Set the mood for the next story.
Sure. It's how to stop giving a fuck what people think.
Ah. Don't give a stroke about what people think.
The post originally appeared on Medium. Not to be confused with Rare or Melt Well Done.
But everything on Medium is more true and authoritative because of all the white space.
Oh, there you go.
I think that's how it works.
Oh, hold on.
Uh-oh.
What's the... He doesn't. Yeah.
That's what he'd be doing.
It's like if the Electric Slide and most 80s movies theme songs had an illegitimate child. It's this song.
It's totally 80s. The video has like claymation in it.
Yeah,
it awesome.
I think it's a fan video, isn't it?
No, I think it's for real.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Okay, wait,
oh, hold
here
on.
We go.
Hold on. What time of the day
do you like to make love? 10:15, we told you. Jesus.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Feel free to answer, Christiana.
I can't
no,
say I have.
No, which one? Like
yes.
The Craig?
We don't get TV.
Yes. Okay.
Ask me. Have you ever made
love on a couch? Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions.
It is. Have you ever made love
on the back seat of a car? No, I'm really tall.
Truck? Does the truck count?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, okay. Wait, have I?
No.
Is that really what you would say when the police officer shines a light at your car?
Oh, excuse me.
I wasn't having sex with a white woman. I was stroking.
Oh, God.
But which direction?
You don't like the idea of stroking to a woman?
That he likes best, sure.
Stroking.
Well, better than to a man, if you are that Harlem...
a white homo.
You know.
Oh, hold on, more questions. Wait. How long has it been since you made love? Well, I'm not going to answer that.
It's
personal.
8:34, 24 hours.
My kid just turned 4.
Just kidding. Did you make love last week? Last week?
Hmm. Yeah.
Nope. Really? No kidding. I was there.
Last year,
uh-huh.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe it might be that you're
planning on making love tonight. Not 10:15 yet, Clarence.
No, this, no. Start making love. You're making
hard, long, soft, short, and be stroking. Hard, long, soft, and short.
Well, yeah,
to the east and to the west.
All right, so let's get to the bottom of this. How we can stop giving a fuck what people think?
Oh, good.
I think we just did it by listening to this song for so long.
Mm-hmm. I was going to keep playing in the background. Hey, believe it or not, we're not that special. No one really cares. We go through our days thinking about how other people might be judging it, when the truth is, those people are thinking the exact same thing. No one in today's smartphone-crazed society has time in their schedule to think more than a brief second about us. And of course, stroking.
They think of you
it's
in the context of stroking.
It's hard to think of anything else.
The fact of the matter is, when we do have time to get our thoughts straight, we're too busy thinking about ourselves and our own shortcomings and not about others. A study done by the National Science Foundation claims that people on average have 50,000 plus thoughts a day. This means that even someone thought about us 10 times in one day, that's only 0.2% of their overall daily thoughts. It's a sad but simple truth. The average person filters their world through their ego, meaning they think of most things relating to me or my. This means that unless you've done something that directly affects another person or their life, they're not going to spend much time thinking about you at all.
That's true. I spend a lot of time just... actually, I spend a lot of time judging people. That's not true.
Yeah.
But like lots of different people or one person over and over again?
Depends on the week.
Well, it's good to know you're not selfish.
Yeah. I can spread the judging around.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Number two, you can't please everyone. It's impossible to live up to everyone's expectations. So, stop it.
I combat that by making sure nobody has any expectations for me, or they keep them really low.
Low expectations. Also, you reap what you sow. Worrying too much about what other people think can become a self-fulfilling prophecy, because the way we think starts to become the way we behave. These individuals become people pleasers that are overly accommodating to others, thinking it will stop them from being judged. In fact, the opposite is true. Most people don't like pushovers and are turned off by it. The behavior that we use in an attempt to please others can actually cause the opposing effect. This means that if you're a pushover, then you're going to be attracting others in your life who are also pushovers, or vice versa. This can be quite a dangerous path to go down if you don't recognize its consequences. Ooh. But what can you do?
What can you do?
Here's how you reclaim your freedom and stop giving a fuck. Know your values. Put yourself out there. And here, I love the examples. By blogging, wearing a polka dot sweater.
Blogging blogging doesn't. You. That's just thinking about yourself publicly.
A polka dot sweater, like.
Mm-hmm. That's an example. Public speaking.
Public speaking while wearing a polka dot sweater.
And flirting / asking someone out.
While blogging.
Mm-hmm. In a polka dot sweater. Asking someone out on their blog.
If you want.
Keep in mind that when you're doing any of these activities, you have to speak your mind, be honest with yourself and what you share, because the world doesn't need another conflict avoider who does what everyone else does.
Obama. I don't know.
Number three, surround yourself with pros, you know, people who are self-assured and live life without compromising their core values. They will rub off on you quickly.
Except for those people that are like everything's a core value. You know, like where you're going to eat lunch today is a core value, or where, not in like a vegan way.
Right.
But you just know those people like everything is like, I can't do that, man. My values or whatever, like to an extreme.
I do. And I will
they'll
say
they'll never let it go.
This comes from Adam Carolla, and I agree completely. If everything is a 10, nothing is a 10.
That's true.
Because the people who are like, oh my God, everything is a crisis, at a certain point, you just start tuning them out because it's like...
Or in my line of business, nobody will compromise their values and their morals and settle their case until you find the right dollar figure.
Oh.
And then... And then you can find a way to make peace with the situation, which is good. Like, it's good. That's a good solution for when this happens.
I believe it was the $1 Million Man, Ted DiBiase, who once said, every man has its price.
It's true. He did. That was very sage words from the $1 Million Man.
From a Ted.
And Andre the Giant proved him right.
Mm-hmm. Number four, create a growth list.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't. Yeah. Don't do that.
Why? It's like a bucket list, right? But scarier.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like a growth, like I got a mole I should have checked out? What kind of growth?
It's comprised of all the things that make you uncomfortable. Fears, insecurities, anything that gives you the jitter.
That would be that mole that I have. Yeah. That could be.
You start by writing down all the things that make you feel uncomfortable. Then one by one, you do them. Once you complete...
Unless it's people.
Right.
Stroking.
That guy makes me uncomfortable. I have to go do him.
Damn it.
This author's thing, my first growth task was taking a cold shower.
What?
What a fucking...
And then putting on my polka dot sweater.
What a
and blogging about
friggin',
it.
What a
Why would
friggin'
you do that?
Pussy.
That's dumb.
That's
it's
terrible.
Uncomfortable. If it doesn't kill you.
It is. All right. Oh. This article makes me want
to
listen to this.
Going back
again.
To Clarence. Okay.
We are.
Wait, I think we didn't understand how it was. So you know this song just because you worked in radio. Was this on your rep? Like, did you play this on the air? Because I read that it was too controversial for the airwaves.
Well, really? At the time, I believe I played it. It was one of those songs we played later in the evening. But this was a favorite. Cover bands love playing this song at bars.
How have I never heard this?
This is a,
like,
this is a great karaoke song, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I never had to be able to carry a tune.
And be stroking.
But would you feel comfortable, like, walking, like, looking at your audience and being like, have you ever made love? Like, I mean,
it's on my growth list, honey.
Let me just
at a bar, sure.
Let me just say this. My go-to karaoke song is Dancing With Myself by Billy Idol.
Nice.
Right.
Does that answer your question?
But then if you have to do more songs,
an
encore. You did the other night.
Yeah. Look, I did Fat Bottom Girls.
Nice. Awesome.
And Here I Go Again by Whitesnake.
Okay, so you're pretty, you're like, rock is your wheelhouse. You're kind of...
I also did Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe.
Nice.
Oh.
Do you guys have a karaoke, like, standard?
My karaoke standard is 90s rap.
Mine is, yeah. Baby Got Back was one I used to do. And Humpty Dance, I think I do pretty well, actually, if I may say so myself.
But I don't just pick one song because I think... I don't know. I don't think people should just have songs that are like a ringer. I think you've got to get on your growth list. So
yeah.
I try out different ones.
That's why I did What Does the Fox Say?
Did you do it like full dance with it?
Well, no, I actually did it sitting on the couch.
Ah.
Because it was a private room.
Oh.
Yeah. And finally, the last thing you have to do to stop giving a fuck what people think is travel alone.
Oh, yeah, I did that.
I've done that. I don't know if
that really helped. Anything. Yeah, no. I mean, it's good. I like traveling alone, but I don't know that it helps me, like, not care what people think about me.
I will happily go eat meals at restaurants alone.
Yeah.
Like that, I'm totally comfortable with, and I know some people aren't at all.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a holdover from when I was a law student and just would study. I studied, like, every restaurant in San Francisco at some point or another.
Yeah.
But I don't like... Like, traveling alone just sounds kind of not as much fun to me. I mean, I've done, like, travel to a place, meet other people, like, and navigate an airport on my own. But I had one of my best friends who did, like, the post-collegiate, you know, month in Europe trip, and he went by himself. And he came back, and he was sort of like, you know, it was great, and I'm glad I did it, but there were times where I'd be looking at this great work of art, and I just wanted to talk to somebody about it. You know, and he was a pretty outgoing guy. Like, he talked to people, but it wasn't the same as, you know, he could never sit around and be like, hey, remember that time we saw the Mona Lisa or whatever?
Yeah.
Because there was nobody there with him, and that's sad. And I don't like seeing movies by myself.
Mm. Oh, I love going to movies by myself.
Or maybe I picked the wrong one. The only movie I've ever gone on scene completely by myself was Garden State. Like,
oh, that's just boring.
Well, it was at a strange point in my life where I was, like, too into the soundtrack and, like, the whole thing of the movie, and I was just like... I should not have seen that movie by myself at that particular point in time.
I love doing all that stuff by myself. Going out to eat, going to movies, and traveling all by myself. But, I mean, not that I don't get heinously lonely at times, but I do at home also, so it's okay.
Yeah.
But actually, Ted, since I met you, I don't have as much of an urge to go see movies by myself.
Oh, that's the sweetest thing you've ever said.
I like to hang out with just you.
I
even will share my gigantic popcorn with you, which is saying a lot because that's my favorite food and I like to eat it all by myself.
Popcorn is good.
It's pretty good stuff. Thanks.
It is. So, everybody, stop giving a fuck what people think.
Yeah.
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 We don't give a fuck because it's your birthday.
What?
You know who doesn't give a fuck? People who wear Google Glass, and sometimes it causes them problems.
Tonight we're hearing from people in a bar where a woman was attacked because she was wearing the new Google Glass. Joe Vasquez is outside that bar tonight. Joe?
And Liz, you know what? I talked to several people who said things were actually going well Friday night into Saturday morning here in the Lower Haight. People were trying on those super high-tech glasses. But then, at some point, somebody expressed displeasure at the possibility of being videoed by the glasses, and that's apparently when it got ugly.
But then you have to extend video, so if you want to extend it, you have to...
Tell me the cut
in this YouTube video, Sarah Slocum is showing a friend how to use her Google Glass. That's what the tech writer and entrepreneur says she was doing Friday night at Molotov's on Haight Street, showing someone in the bar how her high-tech glasses work. Here's her quote from her Facebook page, OMG, So you'll never believe this, but I got verbally and physically assaulted and robbed last night in the city.
OMG.
Had things thrown at me because of some Google Glass haters. She says someone also stole her purse and her phone.
Wow.
Her Facebook friends have been extremely sympathetic and supportive. The bartender here told me he's shocked that this sort of thing happened here. But several people, including a man named Brian, say they are not surprised.
You know, the crowd at Molotov's is not a tech-oriented crowd for the most part.
Yeah,
it's
why would you
one
go
of the
lower
more
hate,
punk
girl?
Rock bars in the city. So, you know, it's not really Google Glass
Says
country.
The guy with the beard.
It's not really.
Now, you're not saying she should be victimized like that.
Of course not. No one should be. But, I mean, a level of tact and that type of...
But, by the way, reporter, fuck you. Fuck you. Don't wear your Google Glass into the punk bar and not expect someone to fuck with you. Be aware of your surroundings. No one deserves to be victimized, but don't be a fucking asshole about it. Christ on a cross.
Yeah.
Fuck,
not
man.
For like another, we talked about that at the beginning of Lent.
It's true.
No
sorry.
Christ on a cross.
Sorry,
from,
I just
like
get
a month.
I just get really fucking irritated when they go, "Well, you're not saying." No, he's saying it's a punk rock bar and wearing your stupid Google Glass there is just asking for trouble.
I don't know, but I think you also you probably who knows what she did with the Google, like was she up in people's faces? If somebody just wandered up and was like, "Hey, what do you have Google Glass?" I mean, that's a I don't think that has anything to do with it being a punk rock bar. That's just a douche being a douche.
Yeah.
In a bar.
This is true. Let's continue to listen to Brian.
Both establishment might have behooved her.
The crowd was jeering as any last call crowd would do with a fight outside a bar. And she was running around very excited. And people were, of course, telling her, "You're being a take those glasses off," right?
Ooh. Ryan Lester says he was here. He saw the aftermath as the confrontation spilled out onto the sidewalk.
I think everybody was just upset that she would be recording outside of a bar this late with obviously embarrassing behavior going on around her. And just rather insulted that someone thinks it's okay to record them the entire time they're in public.
So Sarah says she never got her purse or her phone back, but that she did reach back to that guy and grab her Google Glass back, and that she has video of the person who attacked her, Liz, and so she says she has reported that to the police.
Yeah, Joe, you know, is there something with this Google Glass? Google's even been warning people that this sort of thing could happen?
Yeah, they've anticipated problems like this. They actually set out a list of do's and don'ts, and in fact, Mashable made a video about it and took it a step further.
Yeah, they sent out a memo saying, "Don't be a glass hole."
Ah, is that really what it said?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
it clever.
Did.
Well, it's like, you know, if you get a video camera, don't poke it in someone's face and record them. Same with their glasses. Is it just common courtesy, right?
Hide it in your purse.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Put your little phone peeking up over the side if you want to surreptitiously record something.
Yeah, I don't think you need Google Glass when you're interacting with people. That's something like you're like walking around and like kind of augments what you're looking at. It's kind of a one-person thing. I don't think it's meant for hanging out with folks in the after hours.
At the bar, yeah.
At the bar. It's just like, well, just be with people, interact with them.
Do you remember that awesome Saturday Night Live sketch that they did? I think it was Fred Armisen wearing the Google Glass. It was a while back.
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
It couldn't have been that long ago. Those haven't been out that long.
I think it was last season.
Okay.
And it might have been like not the actual Google Glass, but it was essentially like he couldn't do the whole interview because he was trying to like reboot and refresh, and he's like twitching his head around and just like, hang on, you know, and like trying to talk about how convenient it was, but it just, yeah, he couldn't really get it started.
All right, so here's a question. Is the adult film industry degrading to women?
Probably.
You know, one of my best friends who lives here in Zach did her senior thesis. It was like a feminist defense of porn, and I have been meaning to read that for years. Oh. I'm going to have to get it from her.
Well,
because she's super smart.
The answer is not according to some of the most powerful female names in the business, the ones making and marketing films like Blondage and Heather and Her Friends. Oh. Which opens with a shot of an attractive blonde woman staring into the camera with her lips open as she caresses another woman who is topless. In Timeless, a blonde girl eerily smiles while a man ejaculates on her face.
That could be any porn movie, guys.
I know.
Oh, wow.
That one. Yeah, that was really empowering.
It is scenes like these that lend credence to the belief that the adult film industry objectifies and denigrates women, turning them into mere sex objects, the instruments of male-centric pleasures and fantasies. But these pornos were filmed by self-described left-leaning feminist. As a managing editor of Penthouse Entertainment, Kelly Holland is one of the most powerful women in the entertainment industry, adult or otherwise. She and a few other women working behind the scenes of the porn industry as writers, directors, and entrepreneurs are combating the stereotype that the only place for a woman in porn is in front of the camera servicing men. Her story complicates the feminist conception of porn as degrading to women. In the 70s and 80s, many feminists pushed against porn, claiming that it... hold on. Let me go back up here.
I'm just filling in the void.
I know. Claiming that it hurt women's rights. Gloria Steinem, Bella Abzug, and Andrea Dworkin protested pornography by lighting in 1979 in March in Times Square. Dworkin and other feminists later testified in front of the Mies Commission in 86, claiming porn debased women.
Was it Dworkin or was it Adrian Rich who posted that every act, like there can be no consensual heterosexual sex? That every act of heterosexual sex is rape.
I don't think it was Adrian Rich who said that.
Was it Dworkin?
I don't know, but I remember that. That's the extreme end of the pendulum.
Yeah, it's pretty far out.
Cray-cray-doo. Yeah, that is. It's a little far out there. But anyway, this woman Holland was living project to project, paycheck to paycheck. So she operated a post production studio in order to facilitate her documentary habit. She rented out space in the studio. One time she noticed someone editing gay porn, but the footage showed the director peeking out. She called up Vivid Entertainment, the company behind the footage, and offered to clean up the film. Her response from Marcy Hirsch, who's now the VP of production at Vivid, was a challenge. If you think you know so much, try to direct. And that's exactly what she did. She said, I went in on a dare as a documentarian. You love to drop into interesting worlds. And so I said, sure. In 94, she produced her first pornographic film, Blondage. But what started as a lark became a professional passion. Adult was great because the money was good. And it's also an amazing playground. The artistic options as a director were actually more bountiful than as a documentarian, thanks to the budgets and the short shooting schedules. No movie costs so much. You couldn't take risks. And you're doing three or four a month. So if you mess up, you move on. It was like being in film school, but getting paid. It was a wonderful learning experience. It's just a really interesting article. It goes on and on and on. Blah, blah, blah.
Interesting.
But, I mean, the question remains, is it really necessarily degrading to women if it's something you're choosing to do?
No.
No.
Well, no. Choice can be... Choice is not a simple word either.
Like
if you're really choosing to do it,
right?
You know,
but some people are.
I mean, the whole like all sort of sex worker jobs, whether it's prostitution or pornography or anything like that. If it's truly a choice and you get to choose your choice, mm-hmm. that's one thing. But if it's something that you know, you have no other choices, therefore it's the one, you know, thing you have left to sell to make money. I'm not sure that I don't know if that's feminist and empowering or not. But yeah, whoever's making the film, you can make a feminist porn movie, or you can make a pretty not feminist porn movie.
Right. I mean, there's a porn with manipulate like young women into doing stuff that, you know, I think, yeah, that they just don't know what they're getting into, or you're not going to pay them afterwards, or you tell them you're not going to put it on the internet.
Always get the money before you take your top
that's
off.
That's what I do.
Yeah, that's what I do as well. Money up front.
Right, Becca?
No, okay. Yeah, so it just really, it really depends probably on the particular operation. And yeah. I mean, when I was working as a youth crisis counselor, I did get phone calls from girls who got sort of duped into various modeling and acting gigs that turned out to just be elaborate pranks. And, you know, and there's a lot of stuff out there that's unsavory and misogynistic. And there's probably a lot of stuff out there that's really egalitarian and beneficial for all parties. And, you know, it's a very big industry.
It is. And it's apparently moving to Vegas. Part of the...
Because of the condom law?
Yeah, the condom law is causing a lot of issues in the L.A. area. They passed a law saying that all adult films have to have a condom, and some people have a problem with that. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
So a lot of productions are picking up and moving to Vegas.
Where anything goes.
But Nevada, not the land of regulation.
Not at all.
Shall we say.
Anything goes.
But I mean, we had the story last week about the Duke University freshman who was doing rough sex porn to pay for a tuition at Duke.
And loving it.
And yeah.
until people started to try and make her feel shitty about her choice.
Right. Mm-hmm. And outed her.
Yeah. Which not was cool. Not okay. Now in Tennessee, which is the land of regulation, sort of, this is interesting. A representative wants to print sex offender in red letters on every sex offender's driver's license.
Is it your intention to cause that person embarrassment if they went in to, say, buy a pack of cigarettes or a pack of Copenhagen or box or whatever Copenhagen comes in?
A box of Copenhagen or whatever Copenhagen comes in. You know, sir, it comes in a round tin.
He's really obsessed with that tobacco.
And had to show their driver's license. And
it's not my intent to embarrass them, but it is my intent that... that the public know that they're a convicted sex offender.
If I'm at a mall, I don't ask my friend here to see his driver's license to prove whether or not he's a registered offender. And it brings to mind that maybe a scarlet letter put on his breast might work as well.
Or a tattoo on his head.
Well, if you felt that was necessary, that would be fine. if that's something that you'd like to do.
No, I don't think he does.
No, it's not.
He was ironic.
Matthew Hill is a Tennessee state representative who ran for office with an image of a fetus on his campaign flyers. He's the one pushing this whole thing. And the person questioning him was another Republican lawmaker who apparently has a little bit of good sense to him. It's like, I get the idea that you want to protect the public, but who sees your driver's license?
The kids you meet?
Yeah, someplace where you pay with your credit card. Right. Some place where they need your ID.
Or a cop when he pulls you over.
Or a cop when he pulls you over.
You'll get no leniency, probably.
This is true.
I don't know. It's yeah, I don't like that.
Tennessee's a weird world.
Well, there's already Megan's List laws in most jurisdictions.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine how the driver's license thing would add any measure of protection to anybody.
Yeah, Tennessee has dozens of regulations for controlling the behavior of released sex offenders, including requiring them to stay 1,000 feet away from schools and daycare centers under most circumstances. But the law does allow for registered sex offenders to drop off and pick up their own children at schools, daycares, and rec centers, and to attend meetings with administrators, so long as they notify the institution of their sex offender status at the time of their kid's enrollment. The state also prints a code on the back of the driver's license that alerts police to their status and allows inquiring minds to search the state's registry for the names, locations, and photographs of sex offenders on the list. I get it, but you don't have anything better to do, really? We want to print more shit on the driver's licenses? Silly bastards. I don't know.
Where do you draw the line between, you know, like, you know, so if you have a criminal with a very violent past, like, you don't want to put rules, like, things on their driver's license or put them on a registry somewhere? But I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know either. It's very strange where everything goes with everything.
Where the lines are drawn?
It is. But, you know, that's what we do when we talk about stuff. So let's do this.
The Nate Darling Show.
That's loud.
Cool. Or Tool.
Whoa. Okay.
Hey, first up in Cooler Tool, Google Glass, Ted.
I actually think they're pretty cool and they're not being misused.
Becca?
So Tool. I'm hoping Ted never gets one. I'll be really sad.
Oh my, this could be the first big fight.
Womp womp.
Christiana?
I don't know. I'm kind of ambivalent. I guess I'll go with cool, although I'm waiting for, like, Google ear, but I just want something telling me.
Google helmet.
Google helmet.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
Be safer and more informed.
would it look like one of the fighters in Star Wars? If it's a flip-down thing?
Maybe. Oh, ooh. Yeah, there you go.
It's kind of Tool. Sorry. it's nerdy, so it can't be cool.
Wait,
what? Sorry, Ted.
That's okay, but, like, do you think iPhones are cool or any kind of... Mobile devices are cool, or just no technology is cool?
They're okay.
Okay.
I wouldn't categorize them as cool.
All right, gotcha.
But they're okay.
Gotcha.
Up next in Cooler Tool, feminist porn. Feminist porn, Becca.
Cool.
Christiana?
Feminist porn, cool.
Ted?
Yeah, cool.
It's cool as long as it doesn't get too caught up in storyline.
I don't want relationships.
Then I'm bored.
Ruining my porn.
That's right. If I want relationships, are for relationships. Porn is for something else.
Somebody wants to stroke it, they just need to stroke it.
No. So stroke it. And finally, in Cooler Tools, stamping sex offenders. Christiana.
Stamp out sex offenders. Wait, that's not what you mean.
No,
it's
not.
I don't know. I abstain.
Becca?
The driver's license plan is tool.
Ted?
I agree, it's tool.
Yeah, it's too much. It's ridiculous. The person who's making sure that you have the same credit card information, yeah, no, that's too much. Settle down. Settle down, Beavis. Ted, you highlighted this last week. I thought it was interesting.
I don't even know what it is.
It's the actual difference between women who are hot and who are beautiful.
I still haven't clicked on this.
I didn't read past the first three paragraphs because I got mad.
Well, okay. It says women were curvy, skinny, hood, pretty, cute, ethnic, bad, dime pieces, unicorns, babes, pieces of tail, juicy, fine, sexy, foxes, sultry, voluptuous. The list goes on. But when was the last time you heard a man describe a woman with an adjective that isn't dripping in sexual innuendos and defaming premises?
Like all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When was the last time you heard a man describe a woman by something that compliments her soul and her inherent elegance? When was the last time you heard a man describe a woman as beautiful? By the way, this is Lauren Martin writing this, and Lauren, a female. There's been a loss of respect when it comes to admiring women, shifting towards describing us as objects rather than people. Men look at women as pieces of tail, things to be conquered, rather than appreciating women for their individuality. A large portion of today's men are momentarily allured by hair extensions, large chests, big bottoms, and stilettos.
Wait a minute.
I mean, that's okay. I'll take that.
Are any men allured by hair extensions?
A large portion are, honey. Didn't you hear the article?
It's true.
It's actual.
It's on the internet.
Are they by the hair extensions, or do they just like girls with long hair?
I'm pretty sure guys like women with longer hair.
I think a woman can be beautiful with short hair or long hair.
He's right there.
But a lot of guys like really, really are into long hair. Like
that's true, I guess. I don't know what the percentage
my
is.
My dad is not in the end thing, but he always would get mad when we'd like cut our hair short.
My dad,
like, girl should
also
have long hair.
Also gets mad when I cut my hair. And then I don't know if you saw Felicia Day, the actress, she like cut her hair short and there was like this huge internet backlash. And I guess there was like this meme of her going around. It was like her with short hair and then supposedly her with long hair. And everyone was like, what's hotter? Or like, why did she do this? Or, you know, what a bitch or whatever. Mm. And the picture of her with long hair, it like wasn't even her. Like it was like they were like close enough. Like it's a red haired girl. And
right.
Now she's ugly. And
it's pathetic.
These men think sexuality comes in the form of bronze skin, bikini waxes, and fake eyelashes. They've been programmed to believe that. Any woman with a sculpted body and perky breasts is attractive. Mm.
You guys have been programmed, man.
Yeah, by genetics. Sorry.
Genetics don't like extensions and bikini waxes.
No. But a sculpted body and perky breasts. Yeah, that's like a woman who prefers a man who has a strong broad chest and broad shoulders.
Well, I think the sculpted body part is more recent because if you look at the whole, like, I mean, it, you know, non. Waifish girls were genetically better because they weren't going to die.
Well,
they had adequate food.
They were the sexiest for a while.
A whole botticelli chick.
I guess that's true. Were fat men once like desirable too because they were large and... Because
they were rich.
Yeah, I think so.
Rich.
Ooh, he's big.
What about
how else did Henry VIII land all those chicks?
What about the women who don't want to indulge in the male fantasy? What about the women who just want to wear comfortable sweaters and flats?
I believe this is all... called a straw man argument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about the women who don't dress to impress the opposite sex, but instead just to feel good in their own skin? Isn't there attractiveness in that? Isn't there appeal in that sense of confidence?
Unless you're wearing leggings as pants, in which case, no.
This is a dress.
No, you're not wearing leggings. I didn't think you were wearing leggings as pants. Becca, the audience should know that Becca is wearing the cutest tights I have ever seen.
Very wintry. Are those snowflakes?
They are. These are from Holland.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
My mom brought them for me.
Fancy.
They're very unique. I've not seen anything quite like them.
Yay.
And I don't mean that in like... Oh, they're unique. I mean, like, oh, they're unique. They're
cool. I agree, though, that leggings are not pants.
They're not pants.
There's actually a helpful chart on the internet called Am I Wearing Pants?
Right.
It's a flow chart to help you when you get dressed in the morning, ladies.
Am I wearing pants?
Yeah.
Do you feel a breeze on your butt and you're not wearing pants?
Yes.
Well,
I would argue that some women are just fine wearing yoga pants. It's fine.
Yeah, well, yoga pants aren't leggings.
They're not. They're clothes. Mm. There's a certain type of man that continually defames women, judging them solely on sex appeal.
Is it white homos? No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not white homos.
Actually, it probably is. failing to see the actual grandeur of women. Oh, how pretentious can this get?
I feel like we should mention that white homos is a callback to Wednesday's show. Right. Just so that people who didn't listen to Wednesday's show don't think like Ted like came out of nowhere with
hashtag no homo.
They don't recognize that the hotness doesn't last past midnight while the makeup is smudged onto the pillow and the hair extensions have been taken out.
They go to bed with Rita, but they wake up with me. No, what is it? They go to bed with, what's her name?
I don't know. Cher?
No. It's the Rita Hayworth quote. They go to bed with, I can't, it's her famous character. Anyway.
Okay, it's funny. Like, when this article went up on our show list, I was like, I don't even want to read this. It's going to make me feel so bad about myself. I totally thought it was written by a dude.
No.
And I totally thought that it was going to be like, here's what makes a woman really attractive. And here's what, like, it was going to be this appearance thing. Because I think, Ted, you posted it and you were like, look how bad men can be. And I was like, oh, God, it's going to be some man.
I was being
doing
ironic.
Some terrible thing.
I got it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And I was all flipped out about it and I didn't want to read it. And now I'm like, oh, this is just a lame, not a thing.
I feel like there must be a point eventually that may have something to it, but I just couldn't get past the first three graphs because she's like, men are all dogs and they suck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things where it's part of the whole thing where we want to look to cause a fight. So anyway, she wraps her thing up with, women are stunning creatures with assets and traits both unique and enchanting to each one of us.
No,
and
it's shut the fuck up.
Time we started
Ladies
showcasing our individuality and stopped giving in to the illusion of sexy created by man.
1984 or something called and was like, yeah, we got this already in like the 60s.
Because beauty isn't about wanting to fuck her. It's about wanting to be with her.
Nope.
And this is her list. Hot is admired from afar. Beauty is to be held. Hot is perception. Beauty is appreciation. Hot is smoky-eyed. Beautiful is barefaced.
No, stop. Just
even the feminists in this room are not enjoying this article.
Yeah.
Is she, at the risk of offending high school students, is she a high school student?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because this is very much like a, you know,
college
like
newspaper.
Like something you write in the newspaper. Yeah.
I'll check her bio unless you're doing
like
it,
like your burgeoning feminism, whatever.
Wow, I assumed. I don't know. I shouldn't assume.
She studied advertising at Penn State University. And she's a comedy writer.
Oh,
this is all ironic. It's just funny.
It's great. Yeah, it's irony.
Comedy writer for what?
No, it just says she chose to study advertising.
Can I call myself a comedy writer?
You can. She chose to study advertising at Penn State University, which led to an attempt at acting and ended in a career as a comedy writer. For what, I don't know. But, yeah. So,
Lauren.
Yeah, thanks, Lauren. You're a big effing help. thanks so much for your help, Lauren. Thanks for your service to our country, you silly twat. Anyway.
Don't.
That's right. I said it. So I've mentioned I listened to the Adam Carolla show a fair bit. Mm-hmm. And this idea of redefining beauty actually came up on the Adam Carolla show. And I thought I would share that. You can get the Adam Carolla show on adamcarolla.com and on iTunes as well. So let's take a listen to the redefining of beauty.
You ladies are now redefining what is beautiful. I would like to redefine what is beautiful. I'm going to go with a hairy ass and a double chin. How about that? How's it feel?
On all the runways this year.
I'm just saying, Brian.
I was going to say,
let's stop looking at this beautifully coiffed hair and these chiseled bodies. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's up to guys like you, Gary Dawson, Fondalier. Let's really start redefining what is beauty.
This is our time.
Yeah. Let's redefine what is beautiful. I would like to be on the cover. No, Fondalier. Men's Fitness Magazine.
Better be full that cover.
Yes. As a redefinition. Fold. We're going to reclaim what is aesthetically, and I will redefine it. Much like Lena Dunham has done for women, Fondalier, me, you, and all the other guys that don't look fantastic with our shirts off around here, let's not worry about that anymore.
We're going to start doing a lot more nude scenes.
Yeah, forget about the six-pack abs and the big biceps and the veins running down them.
I haven't worried about that for years.
That's what I'm saying.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Allison.
He's comfortable in his abundance of skin covered with stretch marks. I'm going to start redefining what is beautiful.
We can stop worrying about the six-pack abs?
Well, I'm just saying.
Let me know. I'm ready to stop worrying anytime.
Brad Pitt and George Clooney, that's your version of what's attractive.
That's right.
That's not mine.
And it's been fed to me.
Mm-hmm.
Only six-pack I'm interested in.
Well, according to... Wait a minute, though.
And by the way, beauty comes from inside.
Mm-hmm. Within.
Yeah, from within.
Matt's in good shape, then.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, but if you go by what Hollywood tells us, it has always told us that the hot chick will go for the guy with the hairy ass and the double chin anyway.
The king of queens, Hollywood, yes.
Right, exactly. Mm. Most, or and the lots nerd. Of other things.
Yeah, or the nerd.
Or so Bill Murray.
I just... Bill Murray?
I don't know. He gets the girl in Ghostbusters and in Groundhog Day. I don't know what I'm thinking of Bill Murray.
Or Leonard Hofstadter. He gets the hot girl.
Why are you hating on Bill Murray?
I love Bill Murray. He's one of my favorite actors. No, and I'm just saying that he's not... I mean, do you think he's an attractive... traditionally attractive gentleman?
Not at this point.
I think Bill Murray is actually really attractive.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Like I always did, even as a kid. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I like traditionally pretty boy leading men have always kind of freaked me out. I like more offbeat good looks.
Okay, cool. Ha, that's why you're going out with. Oh wait, never mind. I don't know.
No, by Hollywood standards. By Hollywood standards, you deserve like a blonde buxom model, I think, because
I don't think so. But
if we were on a sitcom, Ted, you would be the comedian, and I would need to be like 15 years younger and like 10 shades blonder.
Okay, we're not gonna do a sitcom then.
No, okay.
Sorry, everyone.
Oh, Ted's not doing a sitcom.
Well, I want to stay with Becca. So.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
Aww.
So you know, you know, a sitcom's not really real. It's
what?
So from now on, every other argument's gonna be like, "Look, I gave up sitcoms for you."
That's true. Ted's now got the hammer.
So I'm gonna keep Google Glass.
It's time for Florida Corner, everybody.
Yay.
Oh, come on! This article better effing load, or I'm gonna be pissed off.
Florida.
I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off, Kyle.
Right,
we can listen to Stroking in the meantime.
Oh, no. Well, no, I don't think we can. Well, now we're stroking to the south with Florida.
Of course, it loaded as I was changing pages here. Hold on here. There we go.
Clarence Carter. Shit. Clarence Carter.
Got it.
I know my woman is sassified.
Hey, it's sassified.
When she says, Clarence Carter. Clarence Carter. Shit.
Hey, y'all.
It's a good song.
Yeah. Oh my god. Sorry.
It's quite all right. We all remember Richie Incognito, right? From the Miami Dolphins.
Ugh, what a douche.
Yeah, well, he's the Florida man this week. He told the Scottsdale Police Department that he smashed his own Ferrari in a fit of rage. That's according to a report from TMZ. They first reported the incident after a neighbor noticed that someone had smashed up Incognito's car with a bat. Now it appears he did it to himself.
I'm glad he didn't blame a bear.
A bear. I was going to say the same thing. The bear in my car got into a tackle match. I thought it was Tiger Woods' wife.
AP reported that Scottsdale police only became aware of the incident after TMZ gave them a photo of the smashed car. They went to Incognito's house, and he came clean. Police are no longer investigating.
Rich people, right? Rich people. Somebody showed... I mean, if I showed a cop a picture of like the fact that my bumper is a little dented, are they gonna come out and be like, is everything okay here? I mean, what the hell, like, why would that whatever. I'm stupid.
To be fair, it is Florida.
Even more reason why, like, you know what these people have to deal with. Why do they have time to go check out rich person's car? There's bears out there. Yeah, bears. Tackle matching bears.
Well, Incognito had been silent for more than a week following his Twitter rampage after the Wells report was released that found that he, Mike Pouncey, and John Jerry harassed teammates Jonathan Martin, Nate Garner, Andrew McDonald, Josh Samuda, and assistant trainer. For several days, Incognito blasted Martin and others, but later apologized, and then he went offline. TMZ also reported that Incognito's parents have filed for divorce. In the documents, his dad said the soon-to-be former Dolphins guard supports the entire family financially. And now he's gone to rehab.
Wow.
So he smashed his Ferrari with a bat, and then he went to rehab.
And it's his fault his parents are getting a divorce?
They're just saying that he's supporting the entire family.
So now he's going to be expected to support two homes.
Well, basically, and that was the whole thing that comes out, because there is now doubt if someone will sign him for the upcoming NFL season because of this whole thing. So that's probably why that is.
I'll
need. So definitely smash that Ferrari. Make it so you can't sell it.
Yeah, smash it up. I mentioned waffles in Florida Corner. Well,
I didn't realize the waffles were in Florida.
Yeah, they are. there was a problem, Becca.
Florida waffles.
Big problem with the Florida waffles.
Yes, ma'am. I'm at the Village Inn.
Village Inn where?
It's located off of 30th.
Okay, the one near Fowler?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, what's going on there?
I guess he worked here or whatever. They gave me some raw waffles. And I told him I don't want the waffles. Can he take it off my bill? He said, oh, I can't take nothing off your bill, ma'am. But you sold me something that was uncooked. I'm already paying for the whole waffle that was already uncooked. You want me to pay for the half a waffle, too, that ain't uncooked? No, he thought, oh, well, I called the police. You've been drinking alcohol. Well, come on, bring me a breathalyzer and everything. I am ready.
Okay.
I told him I would call the police for him. Come on. Come eat. Come on, man.
All right, go ahead and send an officer out to help you all sort this out.
Really?
You're saying
an officer?
But just so you know, it's going to be a civil matter between you and the business, but we can definitely come out there to dispute, okay?
She said it's a civil matter between you and the business, but they could do their best. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right, we'll get someone out there.
So someone's coming out to investigate.
Well, right
the
after
waffle.
He gets done checking you out, the hurt Ferrari.
Oh my God, I don't think I could be a 911 dispatcher. I would just be hanging up on people and yelling at them.
You know what is funny? I just had that same thought because I seriously, when I was doing the crisis line work, I was thinking like, and I was unemployed. I was like, oh, maybe I could be a dispatcher, and that was actually something I was looking into, like how do you get trained and blah blah blah, and. I had that exact thought with that call, like, oh no, what would I would want to be like, do you understand what kind of emergencies we're having
right.
tonight? Are you really calling me about waffles?
It's true. You do have to stay calm because everything is recorded in public record.
Yeah. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
One of my high school friends is a dispatcher for the Vermont State Police. And, here's what will happen if you become a dispatcher. You will lose all faith in humanity.
Yeah.
Is really kind of what happens with
man.
That.
That's true.
It's a hard job. I used to represent dispatchers, two kinds of dispatchers, and you have to listen to some rough shit. Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, some bad, like some stupid stuff, but you also have to listen to some rough stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah.
Now, you remember the debate that Bill Nye, the science guy, had over creationism?
Oh,
with,
stupidest fucking thing.
Yeah,
why would you do it?
Well,
why? Why would you do it, Bill Nye? Why?
Well, and here's the fallout. The Creation Museum founder Ken Ham announced that the municipal bond offering has raised enough money to begin construction of the Ark Encounter Project.
Well done, Bill Nye.
Estimated to cost about $73 million. Groundbreaking is planned for May, and the Ark is expected to be finished by the summer of 2016. Ham said a high-profile evolution debate he had with science guy Bill Nye helped boost support for the project. Well done, Bill Nye, science dick.
Is there going to be a disclaimer in the Ark saying this is not a literal Ark from Genesis, but just an interpretation of what the Ark might look like?
I think they'll say it is a literal Ark from Genesis.
Question.
Okay. Yes.
Where's the Creation Museum?
It's in Kentucky.
Okay.
Where everything was created.
I kind of feel like if I'm ever in Kentucky, I would go there.
If I were in Kentucky, I would just go to Jack Daniel's and just drink.
I feel like God put the sinkhole under the wrong museum and too soon. I just got to be like, nope. I'm going to hit that like in Star Wars. I'm just going to nope. Sarlacc pit for you. Right there. Go.
For people who don't get what she's saying, there's a museum in Kentucky that had a sinkhole that opened up under it and then swallowed
it was an
a bunch
auto
of
museum. Yeah,
it swallowed like, a bunch of Corvettes.
Oh,
it was sad.
It
sad.
Was, except douchebags drive Corvettes, so it's
Wait,
kind of okay.
How fast does a sinkhole open up? Is it
oh,
just
fast?
Like, oh, really?
It just it's a sinkhole.
Like yeah. The ground just suddenly yeah. gives away and it just, falls.
Yeah,
that's terrifying.
It is.
It is, and
there's
so,
that guy whose like brother got eaten by a sinkhole and it was
what
in Florida?
Do we have sad? This in California?
Yeah, you can.
Fault lines,
yeah, occasionally
you can.
They're
you
more
can
common
anywhere.
They're
really.
More common in Florida than anywhere else.
Yeah,
what causes
the big
them?
Ones. Liquefaction, I think, mm-hmm. largely. And
I have never heard
geo.
Of this.
Whatever. You've never heard of a sinkhole?
Well, I mean, I guess in theory, but not of like spontaneous sinkholes that just open up and swallow buildings and people.
You need to watch the second or third episode of Enlisted on Fox.
Fox
everybody,
40.
Everybody should watch that actually all the time. You should download it and watch it or let it play in the background or stream it because it's a really funny show and my friend writes for it and I want my friend to have a job.
Aww.
And it's also like legit. It's a good show and they put it on Friday nights because they hate it, I guess. I don't know why.
Yeah, Friday night at 9, yeah. Which I don't know why Fox is holding out, but Kitchen Nightmares is coming back and they're going back to Amy's Baking Company, which is the crazy bitch in Arizona. But
Enlisted's way better than that and you should definitely watch it. But there's a joke in there about sinkholes.
Okay.
So relevant. It's supposed to take place in Florida. Better than Kitchen Nightmares. Oh, boy.
I don't know why this is coming. Hold on.
Okay. I know why. It's an awesome song.
Okay. This is true. This is true. So, yeah, let's... we haven't mentioned yet. If you want to support the show, the best way to do it is if you're an Amazon shopper, go to NateDarlingShow.com first, click the Shop Amazon tab, and then shop away until your heart's content.
You could buy a book about sinkholes.
Mm-hmm.
Or Florida.
Sure.
Or sinkholes in Florida.
Or Clarence Carter's Greatest Hits.
Oh, my God. You could buy Clarence Carter.
Shit, the Clarence actual Carter person.
Shit. You could literally buy a... No, you can't buy a person. Maybe a standee of Clarence Carter. I don't know. But you can buy almost anything at Amazon. That's the best way to support the show. Click it. You can bookmark it once you click the link and just keep going back to that bookmark. It does the same thing, and it does not cost you anything extra. But it does help support the show. So thank you in advance for that. And... I want to mention this again. I mentioned it last show. The Stitcher mobile app is new and improved. Not only can you stream this show and many other podcasts and other cool programs on demand, it now has an offline listening feature. So you can download the podcasts and listen to them at your leisure and not be eating up your bandwidth, which is kind of a cool thing. So Stitcher mobile app, we've been on there since the beginnings. I think since the third show. We were on, this show was on the Stitcher mobile app.
Yay.
That was 180 shows ago, kids. Wow.
I just checked. There doesn't appear to be a Stitcher app for the Windows Phone for both of you who have one, including myself.
A what?
Oh, for you.
There's no Stitcher app for the Windows Phone, so both of us can't use it.
You and Bill Gates.
Me and
then
Bill Gates
can't
use it.
I know. Okay, even Rob left his Windows Phone.
Aw. I like my Windows
Phone. The Nate Darling Show.
Sorry, Ted.
Ah, so down again.
Small Town News.
Sorry, Ted, I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's okay.
It's time for Small Town News.
Controversy. That's okay.
Small Town News.
I was done.
Your nation's debt in 2008, $9.5 billion. Your nation's debt in 2014, over $17 billion. Is this the change you were referring to? Obama?
Bob.
He's the only president that... existed during that span of time.
It's true, he is from 2008 to 2014. Although
actually he was sworn in 2009.
It's those wars you started, I think.
Yes.
The two of them.
Yes.
Remember those wars he started?
Mm. Okay. This one's kind of a personal speak out.
Ooh.
Shocked and disgusted at coach's conduct toward a wrestler's disabled father. That's
oh,
it.
That's it.
That's it. Nothing else to it.
Wow. Hey, you know who you are.
Yeah, you know who you are.
Bob.
Since when is it okay for a school to host a sporting banquet at a bar where the parents and coaches are drinking?
You know, it's not good.
It's still a school function, so why is drinking allowed?
It's a bit weird.
Because it's at a bar?
We used to hold... We do delegation dinners at Brew It Up, which we had like a little moment over, but I mean, they sell hamburgers. Obviously, we're not giving the brew part to the kids.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Or drinking the brew part ourselves.
And they're now a sushi thing.
I know. What is up with that? It keeps changing.
I
miss Brew It Up. Brew It Up, if you're listening, come back.
Brew It Up was cool, yeah.
You tease and tease on Facebook like you're going to exist again in Westac or something, but where are you?
Where are you?
This
come
one
home.
Time. This
at
one time.
Camp?
No, at improv camp. Lady Business, which was only three of us could do this. Like, we were at Brew It Up at like 6 in the morning on St. Patrick's Day.
Wow. Oh.
Drinking green mimosas with Marcus Allen in a leprechaun outfit and a huge kiddie pool filled with milk and Lucky Charms.
It sounds bizarre.
It kind of sounds amazing.
That's the last time I was at Brew It Up. And it kind of was amazing. Except they did the classic thing where they were like, so we're here with the improv troupe.
Tell us a joke.
No, they were like, Okay, do an improv scene. Go.
Ooh.
With three people, one microphone, and no notice.
And oh, man.
So I think it was Brittany Beer was like, oh, I've got a pot of, I don't even know what. And then they were like, cut. Like, that was it. She was like stirring something, and then we were done.
Nice. Hilarious. That's why people love improv.
I bet a bunch of people came to our show because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
College solution, finally. I could not afford college until now. I'm not an illegal citizen, so I don't get free college.
That's not how that works.
What?
No. Not how that works.
You have to be illegal to go to college, guys.
I'm not an illegal citizen, so I don't get free college. But thanks to the New York government, if I commit a crime and do a 2 to 4 year sentence, I get free college with no loans.
What?
Thank you.
I don't think that's probably a complete rundown of the state of law.
None of that makes any sense.
Well, maybe if they went to college, they'd learn better. Hey, a big thank you to Cody's store in West Jay-Z. They were gracious in turning their gas pumps back on after the store closed in order for snowmobilers to get back on the trails to get home. Your kindness is appreciated. Let's support our own locals. Here's a nice
West
one.
West Jay-Z. But it's spelled like Chazzy. I love it. I just like it. I just wanted to point out that it's Chazzy.
Oh, yay. It's getting to be tax time. You know what that means. Completely legal distraction of drivers by dressing up in costumes and frantically trying to get their attention off the busiest intersections in town.
That's true.
It happens everywhere. My favorite is the Liberty Tax Service, where they dress up like the Statue of Liberty.
And it's always some like sad 20-year-old dude like in the... Yeah.
Because women have way too much dignity for that. Hey, kudo to Ausable Valley School Board for honoring veterans with the allowed tax exemption. Other school boards should follow their example. If not for these veterans, we would not have the freedom of choice. Wait, what? This exemption is just a small token of appreciation. How are veterans responsible for abortions? To the gentleman who flipped me off one morning on 374, hey, sorry I didn't see in my blonde spot, but your display of your IQ was priceless. I can only hope it doesn't happen to you. Hey, by the way, you probably deserve to get flipped off. So fuck you, you douchebag. Prohibition, I would love for the Press Republican
He added that last part.
I did. For the Press Republican to dig into the archives to around the end of alcohol prohibition, the same arguments for the anti-marijuana legislation were alive and well in the public square. Causes insanity, devil's drink, and the more sane realize that it wasn't very accurate. Thanks, pothead. Why would Essex County cancel their bus routes Valentine's Day to make all their bus riders drive their own personal cars to work? It's better to have near 40 people driving to work in state of emergency snowstorm declaring the governor than run three buses? Yes, it is. Because it is. Hey, it's illegal to pass cars on the right. On 374, again, 374, cars are doing it all the time, including state police. Right lanes are for exiting. If a car at an intersection is going left, changes their mind and decides to go right, someone is going to get killed. Or flipped off. I added the last part again. Hey, everyone.
Thanks, Nate.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I need some music for this.
Spoken.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah,
you're on it. Sorry.
Right.
Is this sexy speak out now?
Everyone
it's
I know.
Stroke out.
Everyone I know who smokes pot is doing fairly decent at life.
Fairly decent.
They've never got in a motor vehicle accident due to impaired driving. They're obtaining college degrees and do not sit on their beds all day. In fact, these people will be the last to start fights downtown. That's because they're stoned and don't go out drinking. The last part's mine, but yeah, I know a guy a brilliant dude who failed out of college because he smoked copious amounts of weed every night. So,
but the same thing could be said for anyone who drinks too much, too.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Or games too much, or does anything too much that's not the studying and the going to class.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever made love?
Stroking too much.
Just before
a
posting 140 characters on the Press Republican Speak Out site.
The drunken angry man drives home from the bar, while the pothead is content in his house, laughing at the stupidity of the drunk man as he swerves and stumbles into his home next door. Questioning how such a beverage is legal in these states.
What is happening?
That's like a poem, a little pro-marijuana haiku.
This is the longest speak out ever, by the way. Hey, alcohol is actually poison for the human body. When consumed, just ask your liver.
Hey, liver.
It's true.
My liver can't answer because it got poisoned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a name for people whom antagonize and make decisions for others.
Grammar-nazis?
It's called the federal government.
Oh. Wait. There's a name for people? The federal government? Is that what you said?
There's a name for people whom antagonize and make decisions for others.
Okay.
It's called the federal government.
Got it.
Hey, this summer when I drive my Corvette by a street drive, if I don't have the top down, I'll lower my window and donate a few cents. That's like the hold the boot out or the or the little league. I don't know why you say that. Hey, I'm a good person. Hey, it looks like the restaurants and City Hall Place are able to stay in business without taking up parking spots for outdoor eating. Let's keep this trend going for the summer. Save the limited parking spots on the street for other businesses. Because people don't like to walk in Plattsburgh.
I'll be parking.
Mm-hmm. Be walking.
Walking.
Hey, there will be a day when New Yorkers will vote for gun laws, just like Colorado. It's only a matter of time till emperors step down or remove from office. Welcome to the Empire State.
Yeah.
Is it normal procedure for the city of Plattsburgh Police Department to send multiple cars to Peru to arrest someone?
All the way to Peru?
All the way to Peru,
probably,
New York.
Probably up from New York.
Yeah, it's just south there.
Oh.
That's too bad.
I would think it would need to be the county or state police. I would be upset if my taxpayers' dollars were wasted.
On enforcing laws.
Hey.
God, so pathetic.
Amazing. I am tens of thousands of debt for my child to go to college, but New York will give money to inmates and illegals free.
Okay, what is this based on? Sometimes I feel like everybody read the same news article that none of us read.
That's probably true.
Colleges should not even enroll illegals at the expense of taxpaying American students, to say nothing of throwing money at them. And finally, yes, your car has to be licensed and registered. But how about if you're told you cannot have an 8-cylinder car because bad people speed? Or if you can't have a 20-gallon gas tank because you might outrun the police? Or you can't have seats for 5?
What?
You can't have
a 20?
I think
that's a gun.
Yeah, is that a gun thing?
Argument, but...
It's a retarded gun argument.
Yeah, like, what if somebody told you how many seats you could have in your car? That would be, like, not... allowing weapons. Like, have you ever made love after making a really bad gun analogy?
What if someone told you that this was going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show?
Shit, Nate Darling, shit.
Hey, it's a new Well Hung podcast on Monday, and we'll be back next Wednesday for an all-new episode. You have a good and safe weekend.
A stroke game.
We hope you were sassified by this episode.
Oh, Donut Dash tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, Donut Dash.
Come out and dash and donut the stuff in the donuts.
Oh.